And now as we prepare to turn to God's Word for us today, I think Nancy Gerritsen will be reading Scripture for us. So as she comes forward, I invite you to pray with me the prayer for illumination, which you can find on the screen or in your worship bulletin. Let us pray together. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Emily, I only see you when I have the children's sermon. Would you want to come up already now? I'm reading from my children's Bible today to help us to understand a little better. Sometimes it's good to read a kid's Bible because sometimes things can be hard to understand. So this is Proverbs 1:1-7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. That last verse seems to be the important one, fear of the Lord. Sometimes I read that and go, but I don't want to be afraid of God. They have a little note here. To fear the Lord doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means to show him respect by living a moral life. So I found in my little devotional for kids a couple of things on wisdom and knowledge. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. That's the most important thing about it. And that's not all. It also loves peace. It thinks about others. It obeys. It is full of mercy and good fruit. It is fair. It doesn't pretend to be what is said or what is not. What kind of wisdom did God give us? And we're always told we have to listen to God, just like we have to listen to our parents. You know, I still listen to my father when he tells me something. Look at the list. It's pure. It's not tainted or laced with poison. It's peace-loving. It promotes good relationships. It thinks about others. It's not self-centered or out for itself. It obeys. It does the truth no matter what. It's full of mercy and good fruit. That is, it gives us just what we need. It's fair and never takes sides. It's sincere. It doesn't fake it. Wisdom is the power to solve problems, all kinds of problems, personal problems, family problems, school problems, church problems. If you have a problem, God has the wisdom to solve it. Sometimes God gives us his wisdom in bits and pieces, not everything at once. We have to do something before we get the next installment, but as we obey, he supplies it. Sometimes God gives his wisdom only after much prayer. He lets us try several different things on our own, but when we pray, he always answers. Sometimes God gives his wisdom only after we've thought and prayed and worked some things through. That takes time. If we need wisdom, we need to ask God for it. Seek him and he'll give you what you need. So knowledge and wisdom, we always think of older people having that knowledge and wisdom because they've lived longer than little kids. So what do you do usually when a parent tells you something? You try and listen because you know they know more than you. So we have to listen to God, whether we're reading the Bible, we see something, we hear something. We always have to be aware God talks to us in different ways. So my daughter gave me a book one time. It was called God's Wink. You know what a wink is? It's when you squeeze your eye closed at somebody to say, ha ha. In it was stories of different things that happened to people. And when you really read the story and you sat back and thought about it, it was a way God was telling them something, even though when it was happening, they didn't know it. They didn't understand it. But when they sat back and prayed about it and talked to God about it, they said, aha, God is giving me some wisdom and some knowledge to handle that. So we always have to remember to pray, and we have to be aware of things going on around us, because you never know, that little wink, you might miss it if you're not paying attention to God. All right, so let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to come to you to pray for wisdom and knowledge, to help us live our lives here on earth. Help us to put that wisdom and knowledge to use. Don't let us let it lay in a closet someplace. Help us to use gifts you have given to each one of us, no matter what they are. Be with us now, Father. Enrich us through this new week you're giving us. And thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know this is on there, but because I'm now an elder and I'm going to encourage you, I found a little thing. Yeah. My mother's cousin is always sending me emails with little stories and helpful things that always have something to do with God and my spiritual growth. And this just touched my heart when she sent it to me, and I needed to read it to you. It says, "Take my son. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at his door. A young man stood there with a large package under his arm. He said, 'Sir, you don't know me, but I am a soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art.' The young man held out the package. 'I know this isn't much. I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would like you to have this.' The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by this young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. 'Oh, no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift.' The father hung the portrait over his mantle. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any of his other great art collection. The man died a few months later. There was a great auction of his paintings and collection. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one for their own collections. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. 'We will start the bidding with this picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture?' There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, 'We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one.' But the auctioneer persisted. Will somebody bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? 100, 200? Another voice angrily, we didn't come to see this picture. We came to see Van Gogh's and Rembrandt's. Get on with the real bids. But still the auctioneer continued, the sun, who will take the sun? Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man who had died. I'll give $10 for the painting. Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. We have 10. Who will bid 20? Give it to him for 10. Let's see the masters. The crowd was becoming angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gravel, going once, twice, sold for 10. A man sitting on the second row shouted, now let's get on with that collection. The auctioneer laid down his gravel. I'm sorry, he said. The auction is over. What about the paintings? I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until now. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the whole estate, including the paintings. The man who took the sun gets everything. God gave his son over 2,000 years ago to die on the cross. Much like the auctioneer, his message today is, the son, who'll take the son?
Thank you, Nancy. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of questions to start us off today in our series in Proverbs. What is a bird in the hand worth? Two in the bush? Okay, not bad. We're going to get warmed up here, I think. You shouldn't count your chickens before they hatch. You shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. All of these little trite sayings are all sort of proverbs. If we dig into them a little bit, we get a sense of wisdom from them. They're trite little sayings that stick in our minds and stick with us through our lives. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at wisdom literature in the Old Testament. We're going to spend 4 weeks in the book of Proverbs and then 2 weeks in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to mine the Old Testament for wisdom that we might take with us in our daily lives. So the book of Proverbs, as we saw from the beginning of the text that Nancy read for us, is attributed to Solomon. Now, does anyone remember who Solomon was? What's that? He's a wise king, that's right. He was the third king of Israel, the son of David. And God told him that he could ask for anything he wanted and that God would give it to him. And so he prayed to God for wisdom, not for riches, not for wealth, not for power, but for wisdom. And the Bible tells us that Solomon received wisdom and that he was the wisest of the kings. Although the fact that he had 500 wives and 300 concubines tells me that maybe he wasn't wise in every aspect of his life. But he was a very wise king, and so these proverbs are attributed to him. So over the next 3 weeks after this, we're going to be looking at the Proverbs of Solomon to see what we might gain from them in terms of living our lives. But before we do, the fundamental, foundational part of the Proverbs is here in these first seven verses. was the verse that Nancy pointed out, the one that was up here on the screen for a while before, which is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Can you say that with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. The book of Proverbs gives us a very positive view of the world. It tells us that if we live our lives wisely, obediently, chastely, if we live within our means, if we get along with our neighbors, if we do what God commands us to do, then our lives will be better. Now, there's one thing I want to point out, though, in this, which is the Proverbs tend to get misused at times, especially in the church. They sort of get co-opted by the self-help section at Barnes & Noble. You know, if you've ever been into Barnes & Noble, you know that section is huge, right? Because our world is longing for wisdom. It's longing for wisdom literature. We look for wisdom in the areas of financial planning and retirement. We look for wisdom in the areas of weight loss. We look for wisdom in the areas of our relationships with our spouses, with our parents, with our children, with our coworkers. We have all of these different problems, and we're looking for wisdom from somewhere to solve them. What happens too often, though, in these kinds of self-help books is that the Proverbs of Solomon are used, but taken out of their context, with the idea that if you live your life in this way, your life will be good. But we know the truth, which is that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Each one of these proverbs takes it for granted that we are already followers of God, and for us, followers of Jesus Christ. We could follow every proverb in the book to its absolute T and not live lives that are good. But if we build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we put our faith and our trust in Him, then we can follow every proverb to a T and our lives will be better. So I'm making a distinction here between living good lives and living better lives. Only Jesus Christ can allow us to be good. By nature, we're not good. We as Reformed Christians believe in total depravity, which is not that we are all just awful, horrible people, but that because of our sinful nature, we are unable to save ourselves. And so I want you to hear this today, that as we study the book of Proverbs, we're not talking about working our way into God's good graces. Book of Proverbs is not about that. Because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're already in God's good graces, not by anything that we've done, but because of everything that Christ has done for us. And so with that as our foundation, what Proverbs will give us is wisdom and guidance about how we live together in peace with people who believe the same things that we do, with people who don't believe the same things that we do, with people who perhaps don't have any faith at all, also with our family members who annoy us. Of course, none of our family members ever annoy us, right? Today is Father's Day, after all, and as we celebrate and lift up fathers, it brings along with it a recognition that not all of our relationship with our fathers is very good. That sometimes the subject of fatherhood is actually really difficult talk about. Which is why we keep the communion font, the baptismal font, front and center on days like today. Because it's a reminder that even if we don't have a relationship with our biological fathers, our Heavenly Father has baptized us into a community of faith with faithful men and women who raise us up in the faith, who give us wisdom and guidance. In fact, in the ordination of our elders and deacons, we talk about how God has gifted them in special ways to lead us and guide us. And a couple weeks ago, we had a baptism where we all stood up together and made promises on behalf of the universal church for the raising up of a child. But each one of us who is baptized has that same promise for us, that there are faithful brothers and sisters who walk along with us, speaking wisdom and guidance, and yes, sometimes discipline into our lives, lest we live like the fools that the Proverbs will talk about over and over again over these next few weeks. And so, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Say it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. May that be to you as birds and bushes and eggs and baskets and chickens that hatch. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for giving us faithful witness through your word about what it means to live holy lives. But thank you most of all for reminding us that it's all for naught if we don't put our faith and our trust in you first. We thank you for the generations of the faithful who have gone on before us, passing this faith and this wisdom down from generation to generation. And we pray that today and over these next several weeks, as we hear this wisdom, that we would take it to heart, that it would become a part of who we are as a people, that we might live our lives in service to you in the world for your glory and for our good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.